Today we are recording Anton Custer, better known as Tony, and we're in Athabasca, June 12, 2017. And I am Eleanor Staziski of Athabasca. Now, Tony will give you his information.
Yeah.
I am.
Anton Custer.
My mother's name.
My mother's name was Johanna de Raad. Was born 28 January 1905. In Arnhem, Holland. My father was Anton Custer, born April the 15th, 1902, in ook in Arnhem, Holland.
You're the one who was born?
I was born in September the 16th, 1930, in Eindhoven, Holland. Good. I was married to Lynn Hexpoor.
What year?
For 46 years. And she passed away on July the 14th, 2015. Yeah. I immigrated from Holland March the 30th, 1954. Met the boat. We were 7 days on the boat from Rotterdam to Halifax. And we came late in Halifax in the evening. We couldn't get off. Off the boat till the next morning because we were late. So we had to wait for the immigration people on the next morning. And we all go off. And then you sit on those benches on the famous Pier 21. And then you have to get your papers to the people there sitting on the table there to show all your immigration papers. And then we went with the train from Halifax to Edmonton. There was 4 days and three nights on the train. And when I came to Edmonton, I never forget, it was 7:30 in the morning. I think it was the 12th of April when we got to Edmonton.
Why did you stop and stay at Edmonton?
Well, they told me the immigration, from the Canada Immigration sent me to Edmonton.
Okay.
Sent me to Edmonton. And well, we were on the boat, there were 850 of us on the boat. And everybody went here and went there. And we stopped in Winnipeg for about five or six hours. For people had to transfer to other trains. They had to go to stay in Winnipeg. And some went to, I don't know where they went to. So
they were shipped.
Yeah, they were shipped somewhere elsewhere. And we had to stay in the on the train waiting for the goes again to Edmonton. And from Edmonton, there were a lot of people went to Vancouver. And in Edmonton, people transferred to another train. Oh no, they transferred in Winnipeg already for another train to go to Calgary and things like that. But we had to wait and make sure they told us not to run away too far because the train is not gonna wait for us, like, you know. So that was okay. And then we went and came, yeah, like I said, I came, was I think 7:30 in the morning. I came to the Edmonton, the old railway station from the CN. Old railway station from the CN, we came there. And we were waiting. There were lots of other people coming up. And then they had family and friends or something. And then there were about more than a dozen of us standing there to the side, you know. Couldn't speak no English, you know. And waiting and waiting. And every time we had some tags on, like, you know. And everybody, some people came by and look at your tags, like, you know. And then they went away again. And finally, some people came. They must have been from some church organization, and they took three or four boys in the car around the corner and was bringing us to the immigration hall. That's why I landed in the immigration hall.
So you couldn't yourself settle where you wanted to?
Immigration told you where to go. Yeah, go.
All right.
Because the Canadian government took a lot of, because I was a machinist by trade and a millwright by trade, like, you know, and they took a lot of, in 52 to 56, I think, all the people who put in for immigration, then the Canadian government was checking it out and took all kind of tradespeople. They took all kind of tradespeople. They had to go to Canada.
That if you didn't clever.
If you didn't want to go no place else, you know, if you have no special place to go, And you went to Canada, Canada took all the tradespeople up, like, you know. So that's why I landed up in Edmonton. But like I said, I had no family, no friends, no nothing. So I landed up in the immigration hall. And there was one big hall. There were about 50 of us there in the one place where I was. And they gave me a bed, and there were all two beds in there, you know. And just listening, who can speak Dutch or German, like, you know. And for the first 3 days, I was scared to go out to the front steps, because all the traffic we're not used to, and right by 101st Street, all that traffic, you know, with the cars and this and that and buses. Well, we didn't have that in the old country, because nobody had no cars, you know. So I was scared to go.
So you didn't have cars, but you rode what?
Bicycle.
Bicycle,
yeah. There were buses, you know, where you had to go. Like here, the buses in town, you know, you can go with buses all over the place.
And they had good connections.
Oh, yeah, good connections all over the place. But we had the bicycle because we had no cars. So, and then finally I run into a guy. No, I was running to a fella who was with me from immigration too. And he was in Holland to what they call over here, high school. And he had to learn always two languages. English or German, or English or French. Then he learned he could be pretty good in English. So he took me over to the. He came over one day. Yeah, one day in the morning he came there. I seen when I was out sitting outside there, and I seen him, and he said, "Let's go to the Edmonton Journal," because I was working 7 years in the printing shop maintenance, like, you know. So he took me over to the Journal to fill in application for work and everything. So I had lucky there. But I never heard nothing of that anymore.
Oh, no. Too bad.
Yeah, too bad. But then I was talking to some more people, and there was another Dutch fella in the immigration hall there. And he was a welder. And he worked in a machine shop downtown, like, you know. And he told me they need some more people there. So he said, "You go over there." But that was on 99th Street and the end of Edmonton, there were no buses going. I had to walk an hour because I had nothing, you know. There was no bus going on 99. Well, there was one part, he goes, I think that was the Ritchie bus. He was going halfway on 99th Street, and then he go down the hill there where Gaynor's packing plant was. That's as far as he went. But I had to, that was 76th Avenue, and I had to go to 63rd Avenue. That was the end of Edmonton. So I went over there. And lucky man, my broken German, and there was Germans there, helped me out, like, you know. And the foreman said, I can't remember what day that was, but he said, "You come back on Monday," so. And then I could start over there with $1.10 an hour there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was pretty good, yeah.
That was good.
Yeah, that was
time.
Good. And I was there for, till October I was in there. Till October. And then it started to slacken down. And there was an afternoon shift. There was an afternoon shift there. So the afternoon shift came back, and then I was one of the latest ones, so I got laid off there, you know.
Okay.
But we had a big job there, because we were building that Cromdale Hotel in 54 on the way there. Well, we didn't build it, but we supplied all the steel beams and everything. And then the iron workers, men came, and they put everything together, like, you know. So we were busy there. And I had to drill holes in those plates. I can't remember, 5-8 holes, I think, in those plates. And they welded on to the I-beam so that the one connects to the other one. So I was drilling on a big machine there. You know, it was pretty good. I like it there. I really like it there.
That's good.
But then I got laid off in October. And what happened then? Then I run into that outfit from the moving outfit.
Let's just go back a minute to working with the machine shop.
Yeah, yeah.
You got your first check from them?
Yeah, first check, $37.50. I was not used to checks. The old country was all cash. There's no checks and no banks. We didn't have no money. Nobody, working people had no money in the bank, because you use all the money. There was not such a thing as working men have money in the bank, like, you know. It was not such, because everything was always cash, like, you know. So I had a heck of a time. And there was a big, I think, what was it? Imperial Bank? I can't remember now. Right across from the McDonald's Hotel. The big bank there. Remember my passport, and the guys helped me, "You go there," you know. And he showed me $37.50 thing there. Yeah. Yeah, and then I got lucky too when I was in the machine shop. I ran into some other guys for boardroom room. They say, you come to us because the people need some more people for boardroom room. There were six of us in the house for boardroom room. So I got lucky there. Then I had to go back to the immigration hall with the other people and tell the people from immigration that, you know, I'm not coming anymore. I got a job and I live in Edmonton. Yeah, there in the right there. That was right there. The Bonnie Doon was not even built. That was right across from the White Avenue. We were on White Avenue. Yeah, I can't remember. No, 80th Street. No, 80th Avenue. 80th Avenue and 85th Street was right across from the Bonnie Doon, there in the Bonnie Doon. The Bonnie Doon wasn't even built yet, because they built that way later, what time the Bonnie Doon was built. In 89? Yeah, in 89. In 89, the Bonnie Doon was built, so. But I got to go in the morning, guys, and walk an hour and an hour coming back from work. And we work Saturdays too, 4 hours on Saturday there. I really like it there. And they had the maintenance from, they used to have the dowel trucks, cement dowel trucks. They did service for the drilling oil. There, those big trucks, and he came in for maintenance, and he put me on there, on the drive sometimes, broken or this and that, and the foreman put me always in there. I was pretty good in that, changing the drives or whatever it was, sprockets and everything, and he all put me there. I had those big trucks on dowel, for cement trucks for the oil fields, and he came in there for repairs. Yeah, and then in October I got laid off there, and then 2 weeks I didn't do nothing, or can't remember what happened. Because my English was still not so good after that either yet. But I started to understand a little bit, like, you know. But I couldn't speak nothing yet.
It's a good thing you had yes a ear
no.
for it.
Yeah, yes, I know. I could say yes, I know, and thank you, and that was it. Because when we got freed by the English, they didn't stay much in contact with the people, like, you know. The English were real funny. There was a big people from the Air Force was in schools because we had no school, you know. We had a half a year no school, you know. They came in the schools. We were all in the schools.
That was back in the home country.
Yeah, that was in Holland, yeah. That was just right after the war, in 44, when we were free, in 44. We didn't have to go to school what kind was that? He came in September, that was October or so. October, yeah, October. Yeah, November, December, January, February, March, April. And May, it was 7 months, we didn't have to go to school.
Wow.
Well, all soldiers were all in school, you know, in those days. So that was kind of in between how that goes, like, you know.
So when you were laid off
from the machine shop, yeah.
Then what did you do?
Well, there were 2 weeks I paddled around because I didn't know my way around too much, you know. And then from the unemployment in insurance office.
You were talking about the difference in the kind of measurements at the machine shop.
Yeah, because we were not used to inches, and I had to work with inches, and that was really, really tough. I remember one time I told the foreman I had a kick out of it. He said, 3/16 and a little bit. You know, I couldn't know how much, you know, was it a 32 or something, like, you know. I couldn't see that in my caliber because we were not trained that way, you know. But you learn pretty quick, like, you know. I didn't have too much trouble with small because we're always a bigger in the thing. Like I said, I had the 5/8 holes to drill for those plates when we built when they were having all that ironworks for that Cromdale Hotel like that time. So that was okay. Federer didn't have too much trouble with measurements too much. Like, you know, it was a lot of repair job on the shops, you know, to take things apart and not a sprocket on there and my chains and everything. That went pretty good.
And then the only other really big challenge you had was the language?
Yeah, the language, yeah. That took more than 2 years. Way more than 2 years before I could understand them quite a bit.
You would have caught on sooner if you didn't have all those Dutch
and German. Yeah, but that's what happens, like, you know. You stick together, same as Ukrainians and French were always together, like, and they didn't want to talk English either, you know. So that's the way it went. What can you do? But you slowly on it, you get it, you know.
So when you moved off of the German machine shop. What was the next job you had?
I was helping for the for some outfit was van and storage, to helping people moving fridges and stoves. And then I landed up on Saturday morning. We always had jobs like that. And you went in the old part of Edmonton, 96th Street, 97th Street. You know, the basement, narrow steps down with a dolly, you know, and pick up stones and fridges. Oh, that was a terrible job, helping them with everything, like, you know, but it had to be done. So I had to work the Saturday mornings and everything. And then, like I said, then I was working for the same outfit. And then he had another, then in the meantime, that was in 56. And then in the meantime, Kanda Packers was start to build that new office. And cafeteria, like, you know, and that was right on the railway, part of the railway part there, so they couldn't move the stuff from the rendering, from the tank house, they couldn't move that cracklings, what they call cracklings, they couldn't move that to the feed division. So they had a guy there with a truck to move it every time, you know, and then the guy said he couldn't stand the smell, he couldn't stand the smell from the plant there, because from the rendering and everything. So he said, you go. He said he didn't want to work anymore there, you know. So I went over there. And I said, you don't have to do nothing. They load the truck and unload the truck. You just have to drive. And then I had used to go, had to go across the road. There was my cape. My cape, what was how they called it? Cape, ook of fit division, no. Cape, where they do all grain, where they bring in grain in and everything. How called it ook alweer? My cape.
An elevator.
Yeah, elevator. And the farmers came in with trucks and bringing stuff. So I had to go on the scale there. There had to be weight. And then I had to drive over back. That was right across from the from Canada Packers. And I'm back to the feed division. And in the feed division, they had a special door. You open up and I back just back up the truck. And the guys unloaded all the cracklings. Because we save all the guts and dingen. They get all mashed up. All mashed up. And then they cook it. They boil it and everything, and then they grind it with a cold goes to a machine and press all the oil out and everything, and then goes to the feed division. And they mix it.
So to be a truck driver, you had to have a chauffeur license?
Yeah,
a
chauffeur's license, yeah.
Explain that chauffeur license.
Well, if you want to drive a truck over 1 ton for somebody else, or even for yourself, you have to get a chauffeur's license. You couldn't drive a truck if you had just the gewoon driver's license. That didn't work. So I had to go there and make my chauffeur's license too when I was working for that outfit, because sometimes I had to drive a truck too for the guys to help out there with the van and storage that time for half a year or so. I had to go sometimes with the truck, drive a truck too, picking up stuff and bringing stuff, you know. So I had to get my my chauffeur's license.
So it's a metal pin that's embossed with your driver's license number.
Yeah, yeah. And I keep that same number. You keep that number all the time.
What happened in 1957?
57, oh yeah.
You're working at Canada Packers.
Yeah, I had that big accident, yeah. And what happened was there, I was in day shift, because I was still in the rendering, to start out with before I could get a job in the machine shop, like, you know. And I had to look after, we saved all the blood from the cows that got saved. They got in roasters and got cooked. They boil it, and then cook, they boil it, and everything, and get just like flour, like, you know. And then they got bagged and goes to the feed division, because blood is very high in protein. So they mix it in the feed division, they mix it with hog concentrate or beef concentrate, I don't know, so much per ton that they go in there, you know. Mm-hmm. So in the morning, I used to have to empty that roaster, because for the next killing that they had to put their blood in another roaster, because we had two roasters, empty one and then fill up the other one. And I look at the list, and it was filled up. It was full, they filled it up, and he put the steam on, but he didn't start her up. So when I came there, it was not running. So I thought, you know, it is ready. And then I opened the door a little bit, and though the pressure inside, that safety didn't lock, the door flipped open, and I got boiling blood over me. And I landed, because now they built a walkway there. At that time, there was no walkway. The roaster was over here, and it hit you right there, you know, and that boiling blood came over and pushed me in the corner. And I remember I, subconscious, I crawled out, And then I start holding, then I came to, then I feel all the pain, you know. And a guy grabbed me, and he pulled all the blisters off my back. But it was all swollen up, and it was all blisters all up. So I landed up in the hospital there for 3 months.
Near the hospital?
In Royal Albert.
Very good.
Yeah, well, landed three.
I'm glad they took good care of you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was really bad because they were, when I was there, they had trouble with breaking my fever. They couldn't break my fever. And it lasts 9 days and that's it. Then you just get the other way, you know. But it broke. The fever broke.
Good thing.
Yeah, the fever broke. The fever broke and I was there. I think it was over 3 months in the hospital there. That's why I had to watch, because I lost the skin. Dingen there. But after a while, then the girls were plucking all the dead skin off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I had trouble. Everything locked, you know, they put your inconvenience in and what goes in had to come out, like, you
yes.
know. And so they had a heck of a time get me in there and get me going there, like, you
they
know.
They didn't give you enough liquids.
No, no. And that was a real trouble, too. They had that in for a lot of times, too. And I remember the Gotham Girls was on the watch because that tube was to the side of the bed. Somebody lift me up too high, you know, pulled on me, you know. Now I seen them laughing, the Gotham Girls, they had them purpose or something, you know. Then I tried to lift myself up, but I couldn't hardly lift myself up, you know. And then they pulled, somebody lift me up too high, because every day you had to get clean sheets.
Yes.
For disinfection or something, or for infection
yeah, yeah, yeah,
or something. Because everything was open, man, my arms here and my legs, and then was a mess in the room. We had a nurse, was a nurse steady and dinged there, and he put right oil over me, and then my rubber boots were full with blood, and there was a mess in the room there, you know. And then right away pushed me over to the Royal Albert Hospital. They phoned, and then the ambulance came, and then they were waiting for me ready in the Royal Albert when I came there. They know I was coming there, and then they did right away.
So how many years did you work for Canada Packers?
22 years. I think it was 22. Yeah, 22 years.
And you mentioned something about them having strikes.
Oh, yeah, we had five strikes. Five strikes when I was there. The biggest strikes we had was in 1966. We had a 3 or 4 month strike in 66. We had so much trouble with the union there, that wasn't even funny.
So,
And then you had the how you call it, the Edmonton Journal of Edmonton... City of Edmonton, he had an ad in the paper, truck drivers, not truck drivers, bus drivers. They needed bus drivers because they were expanding and quite a bit on the south side. They needed bus drivers. So I went over there and then I found out I was too old. They didn't take me.
How much too old?
I don't know. That was in August 66. So in September I was 36. And he didn't take anybody over 35. And I was Canadian citizen already. And I had chauffeur's license, like, you know, and he didn't take me. But on Friday, he didn't mention anything about my age and everything. So he said, that was on Friday. And he said, yeah, come back tomorrow for medical, like, you know. And then he said, well, I cannot take you. You'll be over 35. So I got so mad. I thought I got a nice job lined up, and then I didn't get the job.
And Canada Packers closed what year?
82.
1982.
82, they closed the plant down. But I left, and then we had the last strike, was in 78. That was the last strike we had in 78. That was the last strike. I don't know how long it lasted, because I got in contact with people, and I found out they hired people in Sundance at the power plant from TransAlta.
So your next job was?
Yeah, was Sundance. We worked for Canada. Good TransAlta. Well, Calgary Power at that time. I landed up in Sundance. Right across the river from Wabamun. Right across from Wabamun. Across the river. Across the lake. Not across the river. Across the lake. Wabamun Lake. Sundance. Power plant. I landed there.
And what work did you do at the
power? Oak maintenance. Yeah, oak maintenance. But I was in the coal mills for 4 years in the coal mills. Oh man, dirty and hot. But was a job. I had good pay. Pay was good and lots of good, like hospitalization and everything. Pension was good and everything. From Canada, from TransAlta, that was pretty good. Yeah, I was 4 years. 4 years I was there helping in the. Because that time, when I got there in 78, we had only 4 units. Was only 4 units going. 4 units we had going in 78. Four units. And just a month I was there, a month after that, number 5 came online. Number 5 came online. And then it took 2 more years to build number 6. It took 2 years to build number 6. So he came on in 1980. Number 6 came online. Now we had four units. No, yeah, 2, 4, 6 units we got then. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, 6 units. 6 units going.
So is that the last job you had?
Yeah, yeah, that was the last job I had. Then I retired in 91 or 92, I think. They start changing around so much over there. I worked there 13 years. I wanted to stay longer, but then the so much hocus pocus they all did, and so much
met changes.
Changes and everything, you know. And then you got the 27, 28 supervisor, and you come telling guys for 60 years what we're going to supposed to do and this and that, and cut things down here and there. And we never had trouble with that before. You know, all those years I worked there, it didn't matter how much it cost, get the job done.
Yeah.
You know, get the job done. With maintenance, you know, when we take things apart, because we go on shutdown 6 weeks straight, on shutdown, 10 hours a day, Saturdays, Sundays. The longest I worked was 9 weeks. That's the longest I worked, 9 weeks straight, 10 hours a day, Saturdays, Sundays.
And why did you have to work that long?
Well, for maintenance.
Oh, yeah.
Shutdown, take things apart. Coal mills and they take half the generator and from the when we make the electricity, you know, they take that all apart. But everybody had a certain job for certain things, like, you know. Yeah, that was yeah. Now 1 year I was. How you call it? A gopher. I was gopher. I took the gopher job. Every time they needed something, but there was a lot of how you call it. Contractors were in there too, and quite a few contractors like did all the from the piping. This the piping put in, like, you know, the oh, that was a dirty job with all that coal piping, like, you know, oh, that was a dirty job. They had contractors in there and certain contractors for the turbine and everything, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, I'll take the gopher job. Everything they need something, come to me and I'll bring it stuff. Like, that was a good job I had. I did a lot of running, but I didn't have to go in any dirty jobs, like, you know, every time. And I got to look after the how you call it, the shutdown papers, like, you know, when they shut things off, that the power is off, like, you know, what they're working or something.
Safety.
Yeah, for safety. I had to look after that. That was my job. And then from the talking to the foreman from the shutdown crew from the construction, and then they know there were 2 or 3 different ones, and they know me because they got introduced when we started. And if you need anything, you need anything at all, like, you know, I can't remember what I had to bring him. Sometimes I had to bring him taps or this or that or everything, you know. I need more grease or certain kind of oil, I'll bring it to you, because I was the gopher, like, you know. It was a good job. It was a good job. It was not bad. I liked that. Yeah, that was usually go 6 weeks. But later on, after I finished, then come the packers. TransAlta did a lot of by himself, their own. Didn't hire too many contractors anymore, like, you know.
So it was already TransAlta then?
Yeah, TransAlta was then. Yeah, TransAlta. I don't know what time that changed. TransAlta. Yeah, and now it's all different. Now they're strictly in making power. And before they owned everything, the lines and everything, and people from their own people used to come and check the meters and everything, like, you know, it's not there anymore. Now they do nothing else as straight making power, that's it. They're not in the business anything else anymore. But once in a while I get some notes from them, but I don't get nothing from them anymore. From the pension people who pensioned, they sent me usually a note, and then I can check, oh, I know him because 25 years already, and he passed away, like, you know, and I don't get, for the last couple of years, I get nothing anymore from Calgary, like, you know. The only thing I got from Calgary is when they had that, when the stampede is on, something, then certain things, I can get tickets, like, you know, for one, but I'm not going to go there for the stampede in Calgary. And then he sent me a note, like, you know, then I get phone or get tickets for me, like, you know, I don't go there, you know. But before I used to get once a month from the Terra, they used to call that, Terra, from the everything from pensions, like, you know, and then I can see, then I know a lot of guys, oh, he's 25 years by the company, you know, oh, I know him, he passed away, and he, you know, yeah, I worked there.
So you still get a pension from them?
Yeah. There's still a pension. Over $1,000 I still get from them.
That's great.
Yeah.
When did you begin bowling?
1957.
Oh, that was in the early years.
Yeah, it was the early years. 1957, at the Roslyn. They just opened up the Roslyn. And from Canada Packers, we had the whole club from Canada Packers. We used to bowl 7 o'clock on Tuesday night. I started there. In 57. And then in 59, the Bonnie Doon opened up. I started bowling at the Bonnie Doon.
What year was that?
59. The Bonnie Doon opened up. But before, I was bowling in some other ones too already. Yeah, 57 I started there. And then I found out on Tuesday night we had the big club from Canada Packers. We bowled there, and then I found out the credit union had a big league on Wednesday, so I started bowling for the 7 o'clock for the credit union in downtown, you know. Started bowling for the credit union in downtown, where the credit union had a big league. From all the credit unions from Edmonton and from ours too, that time we had a credit union from Canada Packers. They were associated with the other credit unions, and they had a big league. I went over there.
Was that just on the weekends?
No, it was evening. 7 o'clock evening. 7 o'clock evenings. And that's the way I started going. So I bowled there for 63 years. But I missed a few when I had my knee operated on. And then in 2010 I had trouble with my knee. And then I couldn't bowl for 2 years. And then slowly on I start again. And now it start acting up again. I should have done that operation, but it took quite a year and 7 months. So I said, "Don't shove it, I don't want it anymore." But the first 3 months I had lots of pain, but after that, it didn't bother me that much anymore, like, you know. So the heck, when they phoned me, as a matter of fact, I got that lady on the phone, and it took me more than 5 minutes to realize what the heck she was talking about, like, you know.
She had different.
Yeah, because as she mentioned, she was from Westlock, from the hospital. So I thought, what the heck I got to do with Westlock at the hospital? And then she mentioned that I was marked down for a knee operation, like, you know. I said, yeah, you'll be a year or 7 months too late. She said, I don't go. I said, no, I'm not going to go. But now it started acting up to me again, a little bit. Yeah. And that's the way we look along. Yeah, then I got married in, what time I got married? 18th of July, 1969. In Edmonton. Never forget. It was on a Friday. And we came out of that that building, how did they call it, from the guy who did
the church?
No.
Registries.
The registry. He just came out there, and there was Klondike Days. The band just came by and right on Jasper Place, on Jasper Avenue there. When we came out there.
I remember that. They just came out, and the band was playing to beat 60. They just came out in 1969. There was just the Klondike days were on. That was 18th of July.
You were talking about the fact that you got a farm someplace.
Yeah, south of Stony Plain. 10 miles south, 7 miles west of Stony Plain. Yeah, I had 300 acres there, 2/4. I had 2/4 of land there. 2/4 of land there. But in the beginning, I had the first quarter. There was an old guy running the farm there. He was running with my horses. He had horses. An old guy. He bought that from the CN for $300 that time. 1928 or 1926 he bought it from the CN. It was old CN land. He sold quite a bit of land there. And he bought it for $300.
So what year was that you were on the farm?
In 59 or something, yeah, around there, 59.
And you stayed there how long?
Till 78.
Wow.
Till 78, yeah. But the original problem, the purpose was for me, I wanted to stay for good farming, like, you know, for steady farming and everything. But that didn't work out with Lynn. Lynn was not for the farm at all.
And you raised?
First pigs. We used to go. I never forget, I had an old one-ton truck with high dingen. And in Le Duc was always a hog sale on Saturday mornings. And Linda and me, we used to go buy the little ones, like, you know. The little ones, and then I castrated them myself and raise them up, like, you know. Sometimes bigger ones, sometimes smaller ones, like, you know. And that was our thing. Saturday morning, we go to Le Duc with the truck and pick up pigs. I had sometimes over 100 pigs I had. Fence the whole bunch off there, feeding them. Little ones, I bought all the little ones. I raised them up in the fall, and then I sold them in the fall, sold them because I didn't keep them over the winter for feed. And I had my own feed. I had my own barley and everything. And there was from the Burger Brothers, they had a truck, like a mill, like, you know, on the truck, built on the mill. They came over to my place and sucked it out of the granaries and milled it for me. And then for my hogs, like, you know, to feed for my hogs. Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty good.
So the 300 acres, were they all being broke?
No, not all of it, no. Later on, I broke in quite a bit. The one quarter I bought was just about open, 100 acres open. But the one I had was only 80 acres open on it. When I bought the first quarter, was only 80 acres open on it. And the rest was, the other one was over. Oh, there was quite a bit open on it. Yeah, I did lots of. Then I rented out. One pass I rented out to a guy who had a cat. And then for the money I get for it, you knock me some more, another 20 acres down with the cat, like in the fall, like, you know. That is the way it worked, like,
well,
you know.
Sure, that's the way it
yeah,
worked.
Yeah, and that's what I did. And every time, and then I picked the roots, and then I had an old disc. I had an old tractor, an old case on steel wheels I bought. And with the old tractor, I didn't have to worry about rods or stumps or this and that with the steel wheels. And I was hung up and down and unmuscled things up, like, you know, by myself. I was happy there. I was really happy there.
Yeah.
Worked a lot of hours there, like, you know, weekend hours and everything.
But the wife had to be happy too.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you
was,
didn't
was,
stay there.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't stay there, yeah. Yeah, that was still before I got married there yet. It was still before I got married, but it was way in the early 60s and everything.
Your dad and mom came out to stay with you.
Yeah.
When you were on the farm.
On the farm, yeah.
Tell us how that went.
That went okay. No problem. I took him here and there. Yeah, that was okay. But that was pretty good. He had all the freedom there. And then, like I said, he started making cages for the rabbits, you know. We picked up some rabbits there and everything. Yeah, it was pretty good. Mom was easy to go along with. Your mom was very easy.
And then you were into bowling. So you started that at Canada Packers with your teams?
Yeah, yeah. Started in 57. He had a whole team and whole group there from Canada Packers.
And that was at Roseland?
Was it
Roseland.
It was just built. It was on 97th Street and 137th Avenue. It was just new. That was just the bowling alley. Look now what they had, a hotel they built there after, and stores and everything. Same as the Bonnie Doon. Bonnie Doon was in 59. And there was nothing, there was all open field, there was nothing. I was Bonnie Doon alone.
And same thing, we used to go to, how you call that? Oh, no, die built dat ook in 59. De Groot Rood, die built de Groot Rood. En dan Noord, no, not Noord, South, how you call dat ook alweer daar. Sacrament. Van Woodward's, die store die built daar. West End?
West End.
Ja, yeah, West End, I think, van Woodward's die built dat. Was ook in 59. On the whole, look at what they built now there on the west and that thing in there. There was only Woodward stores at that time. You know, they just started to build Edmonton the Gold Road there in 59 and 58. They started to build the Gold Road for the first time there in Edmonton. For the rest, there was nothing. And then they built at the West End and there was Woodward store, or the big Woodward store was there. Because I remember we used to make a lot of meat, luncheon meat for Woodward stores. Van Canada Packers. We used to make a lot of Woodward. They had their own formula and we just make it according what they want to mix meat. Like, you know.
Mm-hmm. So you were bowling and you bowled for quite a number of years, because I used you as my mentor to see how you did things to get doing my bowling.
Then later on I was getting pretty good at it, and then I joined the Master Leagues. But that time it was in a lot of leagues, you had to get a 205 average, otherwise you couldn't get in for a while, like, you know.
But and that wouldn't have been hard for you at that time.
Yeah, well, I had that time, I was going 210 average, I was bowling in the late 60s. I started really catching up on that game. I really got the hang of it. And then I started bowling for the Masters. And from the Masters, I was making my dinger there. I went for to the, how you call it, McEwen College? McEwen?
Yeah.
Went over there on the weekends for my, get my coaching certificate.
Coach?
Yeah, I have my coaching certificate I was making. I got all my papers. Okay, I came when I retired. When I was living in Wabamun, we retired, and then we came to. I bought a lot at the lake in 19. What was that?
Which lake?
Baptiste
Lake.
On the north part. Right behind what they got that hall, what was the hall ook alweer? Was the hall. They had a big hall there in Sportfield. Sportfelds there. On the north. And, God, hoe heet dat dan ook alweer? Oh, I forgot those names.
That's okay.
They got the hall there, right behind the hall there. We bought a lot at Lake in 95. Yeah, I think so. In 89. We bought a lot in 1989 at Baptiste Lake, north end. North end, Baptiste Lake, in 1989. And then Lynn stayed there, and I just drove up and down on the weekends. I had a fifth wheel I parked over there on the lot, and then I just came over on the weekends. Because I still had
to
drive up and down. No, to drive up and down in the summer.
Why do you need to drive up and down?
Because I was still living in Wabamun. I was not retired yet.
Okay.
I was not retired yet till 92. Till 92, I retired in 92. Then I retired in 92, but we bought that in 89 already. And Lynn wanted to stay there for some summers. So I dropped her off. I had the fifth wheel and parked the fifth wheel there. And then I drove weekends. I drove up and down. For a while anyway. Tot I retired and then we stayed there for good.
And then you moved to Athabasca town.
Yeah, in 95, I think. Yeah, 95. About here in 95, about this in Athabasca here.
Well, I guess that's the end of this.
End of the song. Good. Well, I did lots of talking again.
Well, you were supposed to be doing the talking.
Yeah,
so
I did most of it.
So thank you very much, Tony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.